I'm gonna bust a beat and then I need you to freestyle, Ashley. You ready?
Hang on just a
second. All right, guys, Ashley's gonna freestyle for us. Just a quick hello. Hello. It's too loud? You're like right in front of the... I'll try not to be... I'm just kidding. All right, friends, we're going to kick this thing off 7 minutes ago. So if you don't have food, please make sure you grab some now. There's lots and lots of food. I'm already hearing talks about leftovers. So please make sure you got food in front of you before we get started. And then also there are some questionnaires in front of you. If we could just take the next minute or so to, at the very least, consider the questions, at the very most, maybe write some stuff down. In a moment, we'll be bringing up people from the leadership team up front to do some time of Q&A with you guys. Let me just say this. The goal here is to continue the conversation that I think we have hopefully as often as possible on Sundays, where one of us gets up here. Hopefully we're not too flashy or showy or like performative, but we just come up here and talk with you. Today's another day like that. We just want to hear a little bit more from you. So with that being said, while you're doing that, if I could pray for our morning, that would be rad, and then we'll get started. So Creator God, maker of the universe, author of life, sustainer of life, definer of life, love. God, the text tells us that if we don't know love, that we don't know you, because you are love. So I pray that you would increase our capacity to receive love from you, that you would increase our capacity to show that love to others, that you would increase our understanding and experience of your love, that it would change us, not because we know more, we know the right thing, but because love. God, our world's pretty fractured. Our country's pretty fractured. Your body's pretty fractured. I pray for wholeness and unity through Jesus our Christ. Amen. So yeah, if you guys could just take another few seconds to fill some of those out. Simultaneously, leaders are going to come up on stage. That was a Jedi mind trick, leaders. You're supposed to come up on stage. Your mom's not listening.
Your mom. Did you say my mom or your mom?
Your mom.
I know. I didn't know what joke we were talking right now.
But nobody's up there, and I'm not going up by myself, so you can get your body up here.
Leaders, get up here. Ashley, make me giggle. Thank you. Right back at you, dude. Life's stupid without each other. I just want my little baby.
Brian White, your presence is desired at the front. That look.
Yesterday to do bracelets, and I was like,
shut up. Oh, Brian, I'm sorry, bro. That's what that look was, though. That's what that look was. Yeah. Becky, are you? Were you just having the talk about, oh, I didn't get called? Don't laugh that loud, Denise. Your name got called too. But you don't need to if you don't want to. It's okay.
This one's not being
okay, friends. We're going to start this thing. So, Jared, you're going to emcee this? No?
If by emcee you mean take the mic around and when it's time to ask questions, yes, I'll do that. But I think you're the emcee. Yeah.
The MM. Okay. I think we're going to start. We had some of you. Thank you, by the way. Let's start there. Thanks for showing up. Some of you sent in emails with questions or comments, and so we're just going to start with one up front, and Ginny is going to read out that question and then talk a little bit about it, and we're thinking it might set the stage for some other questions or maybe might answer some stuff for y'all. So we will start there, and yeah.
I always have a concerned look on my face when I'm standing in front of people. One of the hallmarks of our leadership team, as you may have noticed, is that we're most of us introverts, and so this is kind of an uncomfortable thing. If you were to look at this group, it looks like we are mostly driven by women, which isn't true. It's just that Jared is back there, and Dan, who pretends he's not part of the leadership team, is sitting over there. And Kevin's out of town, so it's... And Brian's not up there because he's on the teaching team. All right. Yes. So one of the questions we received is one that we get all the time. And one of the blessings of Liminal is that we are not led by a single senior pastor. We are a collaborative group of people who lead this church together, which is great in theory, but it causes some confusion. And so every year we get the same question, which is relevant every year, is who actually leads this thing? And if I have a question, who do I go to? So, and how are the leadership team chosen? Which is another interesting one. So I'm here to address those things because I've been here longest and I've been part of most of the meetings where these things were done. So first of all, I'm going to just address how leadership team is chosen. And, you know, we get to the point as a team where we're sitting around looking at each other and thinking we need some fresh blood up here and that we need fresh perspectives or that we need just more bodies because the leadership team does a lot. This year we've lost a couple people who have decided that leadership team wasn't for them necessarily, which is fine. It isn't. It's an acquired taste. So the way people are chosen is that we say, okay, we need to add some leadership team people, and we start looking at all of you and to think, okay, who's been around here for a long time and seems really committed to what Liminal is and what Liminal does? Who are the people who tend to step up and do things? And who are the people who seem to understand the vision, the mission, and the values that we have, and that those things resonate with them on a deep level? And so from those people, we'll get a list of names, and then we'll sit with it and pray over it and see, see how it sits. And then we'll have a vote amongst us, and if there is a consensus, then we will approach the person and ask them to pray about it and see if it seems like a good fit. And that's kind of how it's done. Another question were, who were the pastors? And currently the pastors are myself and Wayne. And how were they chosen? You know, was there a bolt of lightning coming down on us from God? If there was, I didn't notice it. Originally, when Liminal Church was sort of born out of Ventura Vineyard, Bob Harper was the senior pastor for the vineyard. And when he stepped down, we decided to go with a collaborative group. And at that point, we didn't really have a pastoral position, but it seemed like it was a necessary thing. I mean, not just culturally, but in a church, people have needs that need to be met by someone in a pastoral position, needs for counseling or prayer or on a deeper level. And so we recognized the need for that, and at that point, we did the same thing. Who seemed to have those gifts, and who seemed to have an interest in doing that and in serving people in that respect? And at that point, I was chosen as one, and then Allie Hawkins and Richard Sockel, and they are no longer here. So that left me. And at that point, we kind of looked around to see, okay, who else is fulfilling that role already without the title? And the obvious choice was Wayne. I mean, he drips pastoral ministries. He just really does. If you know Wayne at all, he shares those things, those gifts, and that love of people, which I do on a more introverted basis. I do love you. I really do. So, you know, at that point, we prayed. And then because it is a pastoral position and we are a 501c3, we had to do an actual minutes entry where we all voted and said yay and ordained Wayne at that point, and I was already. So if you wonder how it is that we came to be, that is that. As far as who do you go to if you have questions, the easy answer is any of us or any of the teaching team. And if you come to me for a question about finances, I'm going to point you to Dan, who likes to pretend he's not here, but he is. You know, if you have a question about something else, you know, I may point you to someone else, but, you know, at least we're a starting point. But we do have an org chart, and I'll have a few copies, 22 to be exact, because that's how much time I had. I'll put them at the connection counter. And hopefully no more than 22 of you will want them. But if you do, let me know and I will make more. But, pardon me, it's glasses time. For hospitality, Jen Herman is the team leader and also oversees it. And if you have any questions about whether she is qualified to do so, you only have to look out to see what happened this morning. Sunday service team is Ken Brooks at the coffee bar. Yay, Ken! Service host is currently being led by Jen as well as the ushers. So Jen has lots of hats. Tech team is Jared and Dan, our two invisible people. Worship is overseen by Jared Bangs, with, along with our very gifted group of musicians who take turns. Media is overseen by Dan as well. Community outreach, as far as the LGBTQ ministries, that would be John and Victoria Gallietta. Special events is overseen by Becky Andrade, and theater events by Brian White. The care team, I am pleased to say, is no longer led by me, but Joyce Lister has taken over that responsibility, and Joyce has a passion and a love for that area that is fantastic. Sarah Cameron takes care of the meal train. Pastoral care, that would be Wayne and me. Missions, we don't actually have a missions department, but if there is a missional activity, it usually happens because someone has a passion to do that, and then they would be in charge of that one. That's how we roll here. If you have a passion for something and you say, you know what we really ought to have, you're probably going to hear, great, do it. Prayer is kind of overseen by the leadership team, the pastoral team. Joyce coordinates the prayer requests. Administration, the team lead is Becky Andrade, and then I do some of that as well. Elder oversight and legalities is the board, which is, Jared, Dan, and me. And we do have to have a board because we are 501c3, and so we do all the legalities, and hopefully there aren't many of them, but if there are, we do. Staff is comprised of Becky. Yay. And if Becky gets out of hand, I oversee her. So, but so far, so good. Facilities, Becky, Ben Downing, Brian White. Finance, we have a bookkeeper named Doug Rundell who hides in his office, and you probably will never see him or meet him, but he's valuable, very valuable. And then Dan works alongside him and provides us with our lovely color-coordinated little charts. I love charts. Safety and emergency planning, Becky Andrade, and I just want to make a shout-out to her. We have really worked in the last year to bring ourselves up to code and up to, statutory requirements and stuff. The Vineyard was always kind of loosey-goosey in that respect, and we have really worked hard, especially in the area of children's ministries and building codes and such, to bring ourselves up to snuff. And that is, by and large, by Becky's encouragement, and also Catherine has been amazing in that. And when I say encouragement, sometimes I mean nagging. Small groups, Kevin Clark has done a fantastic job, and I don't have a list of some of the things he's got planned for this coming year, but I who avoid going out in the evenings like seven plagues, I'm looking at this saying, these look great. So looking forward to some of that. Enrichment classes he does as well. The teaching team is Brian White, Catherine Anderson, myself, Wayne, April Lynn Coette, Jeremy Kinzer, Andrew Collins, Ben Downing as far as some of the contemplative times, and I believe we sort of snuck Kevin Clark in there without really asking him. We just did it. but sometimes that happens. And we have the ongoing joke, but it really is true. Each of us have a different perspective. We hold some things in common. We love the Word. We love Jesus. We know that God is God. But each of us has a little different slant and various backgrounds and a different style. So the joke is, if you didn't like who you saw this week, come next week, it'll be someone else. And we rotate. So, if you really dislike one of us, it's probably going to be only once every 6 weeks or 7 weeks that you have to deal with it. So, keep coming back. It'll work. Let's see. And then as far as family ministries, children, currently is Denise Randolph. And youth is Kelsey Owen, Trevor, and Wayne. And Wayne oversees that. So I hope I'll leave these at the front for y'all if you want, like here are 22 of you anyway. And hopefully you will know who to come to. But if you don't, just grab somebody and say, hey, I've got a question about this and such. Or, and then you'll get found, I promise. And additionally, you can also email us. It's firstname@liminalventura.org. So I think that's all I had. Wayne, did I miss anything? Catherine, anyone? Okay, cool.
Cool. The one thing I did not say earlier is when we go into this Q&A spot, if you don't want to be recorded, is there a way for us, Jared, to like stop recording if someone doesn't? Or are we just saying, no, like, if you're talking today, you're being recorded?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Cool. We have people watching online.
I guess if you want to avoid that, you could write it down and pass it to someone, and then we wouldn't know that. No one listening online would know it comes from you.
I just got to answer those other two questions. you can see how we work. Am I up? What are we supposed to do? Okay. My name's Catherine. I'm on the teaching team, and I'm going to be answering just some questions that came in online, which we really appreciate the fact that some of you took the time to ask your questions online. And the reason I'm answering these questions or going to be talking about them is they tend to be talking about some of the theological parts of the teaching and what goes on here. So what was so interesting about the two sets of questions that came in, or the comments, is that they actually reflect liminal very much. That we're a space that makes room for people who have differing understandings of Scripture, different understandings of who Jesus is, and we don't require set beliefs or set understanding. We're here for people. There are many people in our midst who are deconstructing, who are struggling with faith, wondering if they even still believe. Other people are here because they came from an affirming church and they hold a very strong, I'll use the old-fashioned term, like high view of Scripture, high view of creeds. People have noticed and commented on the fact that we don't use a lot of churchy language. We talk about God a lot, but we don't use conventional churchy words. And is that, is there a reason we do that? Are we rejecting churchy language? No, we're not. If you are very comfortable with churchy language, welcome. We welcome you. If you are less comfortable, welcome. We don't require people to all speak the same way about the Bible, about Christ, about creeds, about prayer. But we welcome all of you. We learn from each other. If you've been part of our sermon series, you know that we do topical sermons that, like, about a book. We also do extensive sermons, messages about, we did a whole year on the Gospel of Mark, months on Ephesians. We're going to probably do the Beatitudes in January. But then we also do, we learn from, Martin Luther King Jr.'s book, Strength of Love, has been life-changing for some of us as we've studied it, walked with it, carried it with us where we go in the world. So we're not, what I'm saying is, you won't hear one strain all the time. We don't beat one drum. We are bringing in lots of different ideas. Some of things, there are things that, Brother Wayne, because he's got big shoulders. He talks about God in a completely different way than I do. But I've learned from him so much about God. I talk about church history and theology and creeds, and some of you learn something about those things and it benefits you. So we're making room for everyone, including those of you who are not even sure if you do believe. You're wondering, is this even have meaning for my life today? How does the Bible work? What is Christianity all about? Welcome. So that's what we're trying to say. And so this morning, as I looked at the two sets of questions that came in, it was like, this is who we are. We hold widely varying views, intention, loving each other along the way, as hopefully we all grow in our understanding of who we are in the kingdom and who God is to us.
I said, I'm going to sit up here and not say a word. And I think, you know, if you hear something that pushes up against you, the teaching team is always available to talk that through, or because that's how we're all learning together. So, you know, that's really important. If something is uncomfortable for you, let us know. Let's talk it through. And that's when the conversation on the, the first and
third?
The first and third Sundays, you know, the conversation, you can come and share all those things. Let's learn together and explore the mystery together.
I don't know. Let's open up for
questions or comments. Who's dying to say something or ask something?
You don't have to die, by the way. You can just have a question, too.
And just a note, I can bring the mic around, Larry.
Mr. Larry.
I might as well break the ice, right? So, maybe not. Yeah, I guess so. Let's see, where to start? Well, I knew what I wanted to say. I just didn't know how to get there. So I understand what you were just describing with your viewpoint on the teaching team concept. I know in Timothy it talks about the roles and responsibilities of certain leaders in the church. And I also know Timothy wasn't technically written by Paul, that at least that's what I believe, but that's still there for our use and our guidance. How do we grasp not using that as the role model for leading a church instead of a teaching team? Does that make sense?
Are you asking why the structure of the church is not as such that like is being given to us in Timothy?
Yeah.
Like with the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually... I think Jenny or whoever was around for Bob's kind of like aha and understanding as he was in the text, I think that might be a good response, but I wasn't here for that. When, do you know what I'm talking about? Hold on, guys. Let me put the...
Maybe.
I'm crazy.
I know.
I'm trying to find the right...
Sit down there. I think in Timothy it talks about the different roles. It talks about the different qualities that need to come to those roles. And I don't think that's necessarily a blueprint of how every church ought to look. In this particular case... first of all, none of us sitting here or on the teaching team are perfect. I hate to tell you, but we are not. But we are growing and moving in a direction. That being said, to the extent that it is possible to come up and to satisfy those qualities, we feel strongly that these people are exhibiting those qualities to some extent. We don't have it all together. Nor did Paul. I'm sorry if some of you think he did, but he didn't, and he said so. So I don't feel like I'm speaking out of turn. So I think the important thing is who's leading the church, and it's people that you can be confident are following the way. As far as do we have, the triangle pyramid of leadership, no, we don't. And that is partially by design. Someone asked me once, bless them, how can you be confident that you are not going to fall into celebrity culture and be one of those pastors? Well, first of all, I'm terrified of people. and second of all, I look hideous in sparkly stuff. But that's not who we are. We're not looking for a celebrity culture of one person on a pedestal and everyone else serving that person. We prefer to be more in a humble role of following Christ and serving. And the way that looks for this particular body is it is a collaborative group, which actually, they say two heads are better than one and many, many heads are better than two. And so that's kind of, I don't know, did I answer your question at all, or am I just rambling now?
That sounds as good as the question was.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to let Wayne mop up after me.
I wasn't here when Bob was head pastor over Vineyard. I would come as a visitor. I'd come around. But there is a story that I have heard, as well as I have, talked with Bob some. But at some point... Bob, who was the head pastor for a long time, and he teaches at Fullerette Seminary. He came to the conclusion after looking in the text that the one man show model is not really the model of the text. And actually, when we see the one man model, more often than not, we actually see failure. So usually, it's a lesson in failure, restoration, humility. And so it was Bob who let go of that power, let go of that power structure to create this thing. So at least for the impetus of that, I could say it was the leader before us had the insight and wisdom, and then invited other people to create that. And for those of you that were a part of that creation process, because I wasn't, if I'm wrong, please chime in. Kind of looking over at you, Bri, but is that roughly kind of how? Yeah, okay. Cool.
I just want to also tack on to that. I found a way to hide back here without being on the stage, but I'll still chime in every once in a while. I think that question probably touches on something that a lot of questions that we get bring up, which is like the authority of Scripture, or how does Scripture like kind of apply to our lives today, and in what ways, and how much do we need to base things on that? That's obviously a huge topic, and it probably does weave its way into like any of the questions that we may receive today. I just wanted to say that it is intentional to some degree, and it's probably a topic that we could spend more than a year-long teaching series unpacking, so we're not going to do that completely today, obviously, but I just wanted to mention, and this kind of touches on something Catherine said earlier too, that it is intentional that we are not often going to say, like, this is what we believe on this or that, you know, specific topic like that. And the reason for that is because we believe that, like, kind of the model of faith can be very expansive and inclusive. There are some topics that we do think it's important to explicitly kind of spell out a position on, such as our LGBTQ affirmation. And you'll find those kinds of things on our website. But for many other questions, you may say, like, well, why don't you have a position on this or that? And it's because we maybe don't think we need to, and there's room for people to have different views on those kinds of things. And it's, you know, depending on your background, that may kind of rub you the wrong way. If you come from a church that does have very strict, like, you know, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it and be able to communicate that. Or from like the other end of the spectrum, like Catherine was saying, sometimes now those of us in like the process of deconstruction, sometimes there's that tendency to, and maybe it's because of those kind of evangelical roots, like evangelicals got to evangelize. Like sometimes we're on the other end, like saying like, well, now we need to share, you know, this is why we believe what we believe or don't believe. And we can be kind of just as enthusiastic about that. But at either end of that spectrum, I think it's important and something we value to recognize that kind of sharing with other people what we believe and why we believe it is important, and it's natural because it's something that's important to us. But at the same time, if you're sharing with someone who isn't in a place of openness to be able to change their mind on something, sometimes even the most well-intentioned sharing of that faith or perspective on faith can do more harm than good if it's not, you know, hopefully that makes sense. But anyway, anybody else have questions? Yeah, Allison.
What is your understanding of affirming queer culture, either theologically or culturally as a church?
Our position is God is love, period. God loves me with no asterisk. He loves you with no asterisk. He loves queer people with no asterisk. And I think for us as a church or any church to say, God loves you if, is heretical. I'll just say it. And so those of us who come from old churchy backgrounds may have had a little bit of a struggle getting there. But we got there as a church. And a couple of years ago, we said, this is who we are. And with no apologies. God is love. He loves everyone. It is his desire that everyone comes to know him and love him. And there is no asterisk there. There is no qualifier there. And so that is our position. And as far as practical, if you happen to be queer or if you happen to be whatever you happen to be, and you want to have a place where you can grow in your love or understanding or even questioning about God, this is a place where you can be welcome to do that. We don't have any, you can do this, but you can't be on the leadership team, or, you know, you can be queer if you want and be happy, but you can't be near our children. We don't have that here. And as far as marrying, burying, or the sacraments, you are welcome to participate fully, because God loves you as much as he loves me. Yeah?
I'm so friggin' honored to be here.
And as someone who loves scripture, I know that often the texts that are used to say that the LGBTQ community is living a sinful lifestyle are very much problematic texts. They're not clearly understood what those texts mean, and that we've just kind of, the church in history has just glommed onto the easy answer of some in, some out, but that doesn't sound like the Jesus answer to me.
This isn't a question, it's more of a statement, because I think it goes back to Larry's question, that I'm going to say something on behalf of our teachers, and if I'm wrong, then please raise your hand and have at me. It's fine. One of the things we do when we approach is that you've heard these words, I'm just going to say them again so it's in your head, that the Bible is an amazing, amazing thing. It's everything. But it is both timeless and time-bound. And so what you hear is that word that I was waiting for Catherine to say it, and she said it, tension. The Bible is in tension. And you can make the Bible say things that the Bible doesn't say. But part of that is just that wrestling, right? That some of those scriptures, because when you go back to the Old Testament, a lot of people don't like to preach out of the Old Testament because there's things in there that you go, well, that doesn't sound like God is love. And that's because some of those texts are time-bound. They are about a time that was thousands of years ago. And there are some that are timeless, that is those things that we hold on to, that God is love. That is something that is replete. And so to me, those two things, we are constantly wrestling with that tension in Scripture. And that comes out, hopefully, every Sunday when one of us gets up there and speaks.
Anyone else? Shana?
To lighten things up a little, maybe. Wow, I got here late. So I love this space that we're in. I love what we've done when we pivoted and the beautiful, thank you for just thinking about restructuring from a big building. And I'm so proud of who we are right now and in the process. I love having a non-hierarchical, structure, especially coming out of COVID, we needed to pivot into something. A lot of people left the church and they didn't go back. Because it wasn't meeting really the real needs. And here we're building, I believe that we're moving from an era of independence to an era of interdependence, and we are reflecting that here in a spiritual way. So, but my light question is, why can't we start opening these doors more? We're in a beautiful space right now. These doors should be open. It's a flipping gorgeous day. We live in Ventura, California, and it's like that's a beautiful part of this space is that those doors open, but we rarely open them, I think, out of fear of, I don't know what, distraction, but that's where we live. So I'd love to see the doors open more.
Wow, that was an unexpected one. I guess I could answer that from a tech perspective, which is that, like, normally, obviously today is different, but normally we kind of like to have like a darker mood in here and stuff like that, and that could maybe interfere with it. And also, just like you said, like the distractions, like there is another church right next door, and it can sometimes be weird, even with the doors closed. Sometimes there's a little bit of a distraction with like traffic noise and stuff like that. But yeah, it's an interesting idea. We could think about that and explore it.
Just from the perspective of special events, I mean, I know I do enjoy a cuddly, dark space for, you know, worship like this. It's beautiful. It's beautiful and it's comforting and it's safe. But I'm just saying, like, after church, you know, like, let's bring up the doors for a little bit. Or, like, now, like, you know, we've done it. We remember when we used to move over here and have our events. That's why I was so excited about being in this space, not just the size and right. The black box thing, but that we could actually bring the outside in. And it was kind of fun during COVID when we were meeting outside, and it was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks.
I think it's a cool thing to bring up and look at, maybe incorporating into our rhythm, right? Like how we have like the contemplative, like maybe we have an outdoor or something. I hear that. I hear that for sure. At least that's what my filter hears. I thought you wanted to talk about it, inerrancy. I think that's been said enough, right?
Okay, here we go. Yep.
None of us are inerrant people.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Hello. Does this work? I'm very new to this community, but I, as the questionnaire said, I was attracted by one of your members who I got to know in a professional way, Jeremy Kinzer, and the things we ended up talking about were always about God and the diamond and things. And finally, one day, I woke up and said, so why don't I go worship with these guys? And because of Joyce, I'm able to do that when I have the health to do so. Otherwise, I try the technical thing, but it just ain't the same. Anyhow, I just wanted to say, it's because I'm so new, I have to ask this question. Monday through Friday, do we liminal get together? Do we do anything? Do we serve in the community? Do we study the Bible, Brian? Anything? I'm available 7 days a week to pray. I just, because my limitations, I can't initiate. I can't inherit a job like you're talking about. Personality-wise, maybe, but my physicality, I can't commit to stuff like that anymore. So I'm just saying, is there already something in place that I could participate in other than Sunday, period? And I live in Camarillo and don't have transportation, which is my problem. But I could work on solving that if I know where to go and what to do. Thank you.
I was just going to say, Shana has something probably to the Lectio Ladies, which happens on Saturdays, which can be done via Zoom. Also, Kevin is coming up with some more ideas for the upcoming, for 2025. I think with Joyce is working on a midweek contemplative, Time with Roar. Many of the small groups that meet during the week that Kevin is planning also have an online component, so that if it's taking place in person, Kevin is happy to arrange for there to be an online access also. So yes, there are things going on. We move into Christmas, some of that's winding down, but then we'll restart again in the year. And then I wish Kevin were here. He has a great idea, and I don't know if Joyce, he got this from you, but it's kind of like let's go liminal idea of where doing stuff in the community. Now that's going to have to come. Ideas are going to have to come from you all, but ways to get involved in the community is another thing. So thank God for Kevin Clark, because he is amazing.
And I don't know if you heard that earlier, but if you ever want to like grab coffee or sit and talk and want to know more about what we're doing here or talk about stuff or how do we come to the conclusions that we've come to, or yeah, if you want to do any of that, I'm available as well. I'll reach out afterwards and give you my number. Cool. I take my coffee black.
Also, being a newer member of Liminal, this has been
such a game changer just in my personal life. Every Sunday has truly been an opportunity to connect with God and connect with the community and have that invitation that's always there. The relationships that I've formed in a pretty short amount of time, I can't believe that they weren't there before. So that part's been amazing. Going through some transitions in my own personal life, kind of having that midlife at 46 years old, really in that deconstruction period and coming out on the other side, it's been just such a game changer, like I said before, having everybody here and looking forward to seeing everyone on Sundays. That's been such an awesome part of life. And even with the music here that we have, connecting, this has been a real opportunity for me to connect with God and to be amongst just a wonderful community. So thank you. I have to say that. The other thing I wanted to ask is, so when you, as the teaching team comes up with the things that we, Summer of Love and the Shalom series that we had before that, how do you come up with that? And where does that come from, right? And when you meet, you know, how do you prepare for that for the next week, right? How do you individually do that?
So my job here is to head up the teaching team. And these are a lot of really smart people, really fun people. They have some time issues, you know, like whether they come to meetings or not, or, you know, there's like stuff that we're working through. No, I honestly, it is, I've learned so much. So how do we do this? Well, we do it as a group. We talk about things that are going on in the world, talk about things that are happening in our church. Often someone has an idea and comes to their team and say, hey, I think this might work. And so if we try to see where that might fit in with the, in the season, where it's going to fit in with the rhythm. We do try to do some topical, some text. I love the contemplative services. I love how they've been able to seamlessly come into our series, which has been amazing. Okay, so most of the time it works really, really well, I think, how the teaching team works. Occasionally, I'll just be like, okay, this is what we're going to do then, because... And so far, no one's thrown tomatoes or kicked anybody off. So it is very, very organic. We do recognize that we're not super liturgical, but we do spend extra time in the Advent season and in Lent doing a series that are worked for that, and also often some extra worship opportunities. And then when we do come up with a series... someone will either, usually the person who's thought of the series, who wants to make it happen, comes up with breakouts, finds resources for the teachers to use if they want to take advantage of it. We talk about how each, maybe the theme of each Sunday would be during that series, what would be the main point, and it often works out that way beautifully, and sometimes the teacher goes completely off the rails, and it works out beautifully. So we trust the Holy Spirit a lot. And they know that I'm the anxiety-ridden leader, making sure that the schedule is full. We actually have a teacher for that Sunday, and sometimes I actually have to text that teacher in the middle of the week, hey, how's it going? You know, but that's on me, not on them. The teachers are wonderful. When a new teacher comes on, Wayne is of loves to put everybody through the same kind of, I want to say training, but how to look at Scripture, how to handle Scripture. Don't come to the passage with a preconceived idea, knowing exactly what you're going to say on this. But let the Spirit speak to you, let that passage speak to you, let that book speak to you, and then develop your message from that. And which is why sometimes any given Sunday doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. and I'm still thrilled with the way it turned out.
One of my favorite things in that process, as one who has designed like a series or whatever, and then having those like chunks of like, okay, this will be a Sunday, this will be a Sunday, is the, there's some joy in just handing that over and saying, okay, let's see what Brian does with this. Let's see what Ginny does with it, right? Like, yeah, I just think that's really cool. I hope that you guys get to have as much excitement about it as I think we do in creating it, so.
I haven't seen you all for a while due to circumstances beyond my control, but it's so good to be back. I love everything that I experience in this church, the people, the studies, the teaching, sense of humor, the camaraderie I see amongst it, the body. The one thing I miss, and I confess that I go back to my old church if I just get beyond, I have no voice. Connie can sing, she can play, she can do whatever. I have none of that. But I love worship through songs together. I miss singing that whatever, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of a hymnal, but I just love the gathering of those voices. So I was just wondering why we don't do that very much.
When you say that, I just to make sure I understand, are you talking about like a more like organized, like a choir kind of thing, or just community singing together, but more songs maybe than we normally do?
There's a lot of performance, and I love to hear the performances, but I've not felt the body, you know, worshiping through music.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's good feedback. I think we kind of had, like, in terms of the music aspect of our worship experience on Sundays, we've kind of like evolved from still pretty similar to our kind of like Vineyard roots, where you have like every week you have a worship leader and they kind of pick the songs, and sometimes kind of coordinating with the teacher to kind of have a theme, or sometimes just trying to pick songs that I guess the intent would be that everyone who's there on a Sunday can feel like they're kind of participating in and singing along with. It is true that in the past, in our Vineyard days, we used to have more songs, and I think we've kind of, maybe it's been since COVID, I don't actually remember the history on it, but we just have shorter services in general now, so I think that's a part of it. Not everyone wants to spend an hour and a half or 2 hours on a Sunday. We try to keep it a little shorter than that, but yeah, that's good feedback to know that. I think probably more people share that view as well. So for all the other worship leaders in the room, if you want to pick an extra song, Chris, yeah, if you want to pick an extra song every now and then, Andrew does that sometimes. So, but yeah, that's good. But thanks for sharing that. Does that address what you were asking? Or?
It's not like it has to be every Sunday.
Yeah, okay. Yep, that's good.
Thank you.
Yep.
I know that in doing new songs sometimes that some people, like there's less participation because we try to do new songs. Yeah. I feel like people are getting there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I do come up with a couple of new songs too. So, yeah.
Thank you. I just wanted to share a comment. Sorry, I'm finding myself more emotional than I thought. This church has been a great find for us as a family. It's been a season of life of some change and some deep challenges. And one thing I see in this church is it's long and elders. Just addressing the Timothy piece. Structure isn't elders, but they're elders. They eld. the openness allows for communities that are complex to enter in. And I have a complex family. and I think it's, and I've come from a faith that's rooted in the Vineyard and rooted in Presbyterian Church. And I have a really, and theologically trained. And I have a very high opinion of Scripture. And what I see, and so I came with concerns, and I brought, and but what I've seen has alleviated the concerns. the what's walked is real. And so I wanted to say thank you for being who you are and what you're doing.
Thanks for sharing that.
Okay, at every week I've been getting those newsletters through you guys, and I've been seeing this part that says that this lease is here at Liminal Church Ventura / Fractured Actors Theater Company will be leased here until at least 2026. So are you all looking forward to release it again for the next maybe 10 years? Because I want to think about what the future is going to be like for Liminal Church Ventura for the next 10 years so that I can keep coming here as much as I can, because I love this church.
We love it too. We were not necessarily anticipating that the building would sell, and it is currently in escrow, and as you said, our lease goes through July, I believe, of 2026. We have not, until escrow closes, we can't really approach the owner and say, so what's your plan? It is very possible that they will want us to stay for as long as we want. If not, we will have as much notice as we can get, and we will, I mean, there's no thought of, well, the lease is up, we're done. That's not how we're thinking of this. So at this point, we are in a liminal space, as we always are. But as soon as the sale has been completed, I believe Dan and probably Doug will approach the new owner and find out what their actual plans are. Our leases are separate, but my assumption is, you know, I know they want to stay too, so we're just kind of waiting to see what the new owner wants to do. And then we'll figure out something beyond that. But no, we're not thinking of shutting our doors.
No, Shane is going to find us a spot in the field.
There you go. I think we're probably
talking. That's at the time. Yeah. Is we're at that point where we can take one more burning question, comment. Doesn't have to burn either. But okay. Yep.
George.
It's more of a comment or suggestion, and take it or leave it, but I would Catherine, I would really like it if you like started a group of, because I particularly enjoy the historical piece of your sermons. And I'd like to get that on a more frequent basis if you were to start like a small group or something like that. No pressure, but please do it.
Well, awesome. I just think it's really cool to participate in this. How cool to sit up here and to hear Jenny's response to that question. To participate in something that most of us would call organized religion, and to be able to hear such extreme, powerful love spoken. Heck yeah, right? Heck yeah. We're going to transition into the table, into communion, which is presented in front of you, and we're going to do this in a communal fashion, we totally planned this out by asking this morning who wanted to lead this. So Jenny is going to lead us in communion, but we're going to come and join you guys and sit with you and hang out. So, yeah.
I need to borrow. Pardon me. Okay. When we were planning this meeting, we thought, now how do we close it in a communal way? And that seemed sort of self-evident. because there's nothing more communal than coming to the table together and meeting over the Lord's broken body and spilled blood. And I think we all know the familiar passages, but first I want to say, this is Liminal Church. Everyone is welcome to the table. You are welcome if you're curious. You're welcome if you're confident. You're welcome if you're unsure. You're welcome if you just feel the slight nudging of, I wonder what this is all about. There's no expectation of where you are. Jesus didn't. He offered it to all. And when he met with his disciples, those he loved the most, in that upper room, when he knew what was about to happen, he wanted a time of intimacy and togetherness and connection that would last. And when he said, remember, it wasn't that he wanted them to say, oh, I remember that Jesus guy. No. He wanted them to remember the things that he was about, the things that he taught, the things that he'd done, but most of all, how he loved. And as we sit here together, that is what I would like you to remember. How Jesus loved, how he calls us to love, how he calls us to love him, how he calls us to love one another, and how he calls us to love those who are not in this room, whoever they are. So as we enter into communion, I want you to think about that and to remember it. And remember that Jesus broke the bread and said, this is my body broken for you, for each of you. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's break the bread together. And remember, as this bread enters your body, it enters every cell. It nourishes you. It sustains you. So does the love of God. And then Jesus took the cup. And he said, this is my blood spilled for you. He knew exactly what was coming. And he said, it's for us. Drink it in remembrance of him. And as we go forth out of this room, we go into a world that is broken and fractured. We bring our own brokenness and fracturedness into it. But I'd like you to bring this with you, the remembrance of a unity and a better way, and in our conversations, interactions with other people, that we would bring that into it, the remembrance that Jesus calls us to a higher way of being, a better way of being, a more loving and inclusive and unifying way of being. And choose that. Holy God, we thank you for the sacrifice of that dearest part of you, Jesus, on our behalf, to bring us into unity with one another, but mostly into unity with you. So, Lord, help us to go forth with joy. Be bringers of peace. Be agents of shalom. And to reflect you. In your holy name, amen.
If we had a quiet way of opening the doors, I would have done that as you were praying. But it's actually pretty loud. But we can do it now, though. Thanks for coming, everyone. Feel free to hang out and talk.
Thank you.